You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are recapping the Super Bowl. That's right. Yep. You come to the Cooligans for the NFL takes. We congratulate our friend Jeff Adanella, goalkeeper for the Portland Timbers and huge Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Julius James, who's currently a coach for the Miami Academy, but he's played all over American soccer and Trinidad, and it gets a little spicy. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes,
okay. All right, let me drink from my Arsenal cup. No, there's nothing in there. It is an empty cup. We are cupless this year and we'll continue to be.
It's just, everything, when I drink out of my Everton cup, it is just, it's a little bit sweeter. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you guys are really celebrating this draw. it was a Super Bowl win. You guys are acting like the Tampa Bay fans.
Okay, that draw is worth a star over the crest, all right?
At least put a little D right over it.
Hello, everybody.
Get the banner up.
I'll name the stand after this tie.
Get the DVD ready to go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed on this planet or any other planet.
That's right. We also happen to be the gulliest that has existed, not just on this planet, but in a whole Milky Way galaxy, my G.
Milky Way, yeah.
That's right. Why would they name a galaxy after a candy bar? I don't know, but they did.
Okay, I'm more into the Twix solar system.
You know, you like the two solar systems? I'm more of a Snickers guy, okay?
A lot to discuss today, but we're excited about today's show because we have an incredible guest. Julius James, he's currently a coach for the Inter Miami Youth Academy, but he's an MLS veteran. He's played for a bunch of clubs. He played for Toronto, Columbus Crew, DC United, and he's played in USL lower leagues in American soccer as well.
He's seen all American soccer has to offer, and he's from Trinidad, so he saw that too.
Exactly. A lot to talk about with him. Where should we begin today? Let's talk about the superb owl, as they say.
You know, that's like a real thing, right? There's like there's a Reddit group for it.
Sure. That's where I get all my stock information.
Dude, apparently we're buying a lot in grain or whatever owls eat. I had fun watching. Are we allowed to say the words? I had fun watching the big game.
The big game. The gran juego.
Okay. El juego muy grande. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not using the big game to profit off of. We're just here to make fun of Tom Brady. That's all we want to do.
Dude, he won. Luckily, his team lost the election, but won the Super Bowl.
Okay, he lost the MAGA Bowl, but won the Super Bowl.
That's right. At the end of the game, they're like, hey, you just won the Super Bowl. Where are you going? He's like, Mar-a-Lago. They're like, we're not going to hear that. We're just not going to do it. You know?
You know, it doesn't, the ad doesn't just, you know, ring as well. You know,
it actually makes me uncomfortable. I mean, seven Super Bowls, you know, is there a soccer player or team probably? Because that's a lot of wins that you could compare him to, like comparable. Who would you say he is?
The easy one is Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant.
He had a terrible soccer career, though, you know?
Yeah, he did retire that time from baseball to go to soccer.
Yeah, and he did, like, one day, and he was like, I ain't.
And then went in reverse.
He's like, yo, Chicago Fire kind of have a high standard.
I wasn't really ready for this, okay?
So you're not allowed to pick up the ball?
All right. So, no, I don't know. Like, you know, people have these conversations of where does he rank or whatever. It is generally an unanswerable sort of question.
It's like Sir Alex Ferguson, you know what I mean? Like, you just kind of expect to win, you know what I mean? Even though he wasn't playing at the time, he was a manager. That's kind of like the air around Tom Brady. Like, there's a video of someone inside the locker room after the win, and they're like, they zoom in, they're like, by the way, that's Tom Brady, he doesn't care, he's just packing his bag. Everyone's like champagne, having a good time. He's just packing his bag. Yeah, he's like, been here before.
It's just another work day. Yeah
he's like, I won the seventh one. You kind of get tired.
There were a couple interesting things in the game. I mean, we have to congratulate our boy,
the guy who delivered my wings. Is that who you're talking about? Took an hour after my delivery time. The guy bought it. I saw it on the app, you know, on the app they track you. I bought it 5 blocks from my apartment, drove in the opposite direction 25 blocks.
So you're telling me you couldn't walk 5 blocks to go get the wings?
No! It's cold. Also, I scheduled it. I'm not going to go walk and pick it up. Yo, and then I called the guy and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And then he's still driving the opposite way. I called him back. I'm like, yo, you're not going to make it here in 10 minutes. He goes, 10 more minutes. And I was like, what kind of negotiations are these?
If everybody watching and listening, if you could, you know, if you need any more evidence of the difference between the world-class athletes that we talk to and Alexis, this is a perfect example.
You know, I will have you know that they would not stand for it either. I don't know what point you're making. They want their wings when they ordered them.
No, we have to congratulate goalkeeper for the Portland Timbers, Jeff Adinella, who we've had on the show. He was one of the early guests, after quarantine. And
we kind of made fun of him for being a Tampa fan. And we got egg on her. We got wing sauce all over our face.
We got wing sauce delivered late to us all over our face.
I was so angry.
So he went to the game. There's nothing better than seeing Jeff Adinella happy, right?
He was gushing with a smile. He looked like a kid. It was amazing. I was gonna roast him a little bit, but I'm like, you can't. Nah, he's having too good of a time.
He deserves it. He made that video in March when they got when it was announced that they got Tom Brady and Gronkowski, and he was saying we're gonna go to the Super Bowl. He was just like, I mean, the dude just knew what was about to happen, and nobody believed him.
I hope he bought a scratch off or something, because he was automatic.
The Patriots didn't believe him, right? They didn't think that was going to happen.
Robert Kraft's like, Jeff Antonella is very wrong.
I mean, something's wrong. This is why I barely support my MLS franchise, because of, you know, wackos like Jeff Antonella, you know?
We're not signing him. Get this kid Matt in here. We got more when we get back. Actually, Julius James is going to be here when we get back right after this. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, and, even that we just talked about.
Exactly. But, you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join. You can give like $5, $10. You can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like, you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining. And it definitely helps the show grow so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021 when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the you know, Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, baby, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest, is finally here.
I am thrilled because not only have we met this dude a couple times, but he's doing big things. He is one of the one of the few people on the internet spreading positive energy, good vibes.
This could be why I hadn't followed him yet, you know? You know how I love my negative, positive, my negative vibes, you know? But also, it's a rarity that we get someone from our wall, from the wall in the background. There's a gap missing because this dude is on my wall, Julius James. I'm not sure if you could even see this. Absolutely incredible. Played for Columbus Crew in 2012, so I got him on my wall. Absolutely incredible. Now he is over at the Inter Miami Pro Academy, doing wonderful things. I cannot wait to speak to him. After we met him, we had a great conversation. We were like, yo, you got to be on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one, the only, Julius James, everybody.
Julius, what's good, man?
Good afternoon, my brothers. Good to see y'all.
Dude, thank you so much for doing the show. I mean, one of the things Alexis left out also was a Trinidad and Tobago international.
Well, I was gonna wait to get the audience angry later, you know?
You know, I think people might pick up on the accent. You know, it's not really Detroit, you know? I think it's a bit more distinguished.
I mean, we are known for having one of the sexiest accents in the world, huh?
It's, you know what? I don't know who voted. I think it's Trinidad and Tobago Magazine voted at number one.
Look it up.
But what I will say is I grew up in Newark with a lot of Trini folks, you know, was hot pepper sauce in the glass containers because it eats through the plastic my whole life. So I'm very familiar. When I hear the accent, I'm like, oh, Julius is from Newark? Word. Okay.
Julius, let's start with a quick conversation. I mean, you are doing a lot of things right now. We'll get into your career and things like that. But we should start really with the Trinidad and Tobago just played the U.S. men's national team.
And why do they hate America so much? Let's start
we know that there's a lot of history there, but seeing a result like that. You know, going up against, you know, is the United States seen as a powerhouse to Trinidad and Tobago? I'm not exactly sure, but seeing a result like that, obviously the U.S. Men won 7-0, and there's so many issues. You know, the fitness levels for the Trinidad team, they haven't played together in over a year. But watching that game, how did it make you feel?
Well, first of all, I want to say good evening to my brothers, you know, and hello to the Cooligans demographic. You know, I've seen you all grow over the course of time, and it's really, really good to see what you're doing for football and bridging the gap in comedy and getting all these athletes and important people to come onto your show. So congratulations so far, guys.
Thank you.
And I look forward to following you all and sharing your interviews with all my friends and my demographic also.
Okay.
To answer your question, oh my God. Oh. You know, I kind of have been distancing myself from the senior national team setup for a while, right? Since I have been blackballed by the team, right? some years ago, because I've seen how unprofessional and disorganized the organization is. And to be honest with you, it's been a corrupt organization, and a lot of the funding that should be used towards development of the youths in the country and towards the senior national team goes into the pockets of the officials, you know. So to me, you know, as someone born and bred in Trinidad and Tobago, right, looking at that game was a bit hurtful, but the saying always comes forward that football doesn't lie, right? Football will expose you. And this is basically the final point, one of the final points where we're seeing, you know, the result of poor management of money and poor management of resources.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I thought we were just gonna have a fun little convo over this, you know, absolute thrashing. But it makes
this little thrashing, he says.
But yeah. it's a bigger question in with CONCACAF. You know, you see this a lot, especially a lot of the Caribbean nations in CONCACAF kind of deal with this, where it's difficult to progress because either corruption or just other issues. And you know, we've spoken to a player from the Lauren Hutchinson from the women's national team, the Trinidad women's national team, and she was a couple years ago. She was talking about having to do like a fundraiser to end up bringing
just to practice, just to get people here, practice,
things like that.
Yeah.
So there's clearly a laundry list of issues, but I think it's important to highlight because hopefully, it can be a marker for improvement.
Well, what the blessing that we have of today is the internet, you know, and being able to have your own platform to share issues for, you know, for more information to flow. I mean, information is doubling, right? Every 14 days or every, you know, however, like 20 days or something, right? So if we understand that and we still realizing that the same issues that there were 10 years ago happening in this current day and age, then something is wrong. Is we can't blame the players anymore. You know what I mean? And that goes to the interview that the senior national team coach had last night for our loss, right? He never took blame one time, right? How do you go on the internet? And he said in his interview that he chose players that he saw on YouTube. But he was
playing coach. FIFA?
But yeah. I don't understand. He puts down the USL, right? He puts down players that play in the MLS and says that they didn't show the mindset and all this stuff. But he only trained with them for a few days and then put them into a bigger international match when he was coaching and training with locals in Trinidad and Tobago for two to five months. So is something that it keeps happening where the eyes are being pointed at the players, but no one is going to be fine to the administrators and what they actually doing. No one is actually following every nickel and dime and making sure that the players are benefiting, because they get injuries, we put everything on the line, right? And then at the end of the day, we get nothing, not even a pat on the back. And on top of that, the coaches come and they basically defecate on the players.
It's like you look at the budgets and it's like, you know, $400,000 spent on a TikTok scout. I don't think this was really necessary, you know?
We need high-speed internet so that I could watch these players on YouTube. And they're like, maybe... You could go talk to them. Like, no, I got a system.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, speaking to that, how did you feel when the U.S. Lost to Trinidad and missed out on the World Cup? What did that mean, given all the issues with the program and how did it represent your country? How did you feel about, because it did seem the players that day seemed like they took down Goliath.
Yeah, and the fans felt like they were talking like it was the beginning of a new dawn for TNT.
Well, the thing is, if you go back in history, right, you will see when the US qualified for their first World Cup, they beat Trinidad and Tobago in Trinidad and Tobago in front of a absolutely sold out crowd, right,
Yeah.
that played a Trinidad and Tobago national team that were the favorites, but they had at the state, their hotel was at least 45 minutes away, and they were put through a parade the same day of the game.
Yeah.
So, after that, after the US qualified for the World Cup, is when they got the opportunity to form their league and everything like that.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened based on that game. They beat us in the Trinidad and Tobago National Stadium, and that broke a lot of our hearts. So coming forward now, right, the person that watches this game and sees that that game for me was basically an outlier. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't expect it to happen at all, but that's the incredible part, things about football that you just can't understand sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we watch a game, the fans that will watch a game will think about it as poetic justice, and will think about it as history repeating itself, and this is what we would stand on to build.
Right.
But if we don't have the right leadership involved, you know, building and evolution will never take place.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much. Yeah, I can imagine there was some motivation seeing US players being carried across the water on the on the pitch and things
I mean, is what they expose is the truth,
Yeah.
right? Is
Right.
the situation. But what happened was unexpected. Everyone felt happy and felt vindicated from the 19, I think it was 1984,
Oh,
1988.
89? Well, I forgot what year. I think it
It was
might have been
88 or
89.
89, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody felt, you know, vindicated from that, but there was nothing in place. There was nothing in play
Yeah,
to develop after that, you know.
okay, yeah.
And yeah, that's just the on the lower levels of football, you know, in the CONCACAF regions in the Caribbean, a lot of the issues that you will see happening would be in just lack of understanding and knowledge and execution and discipline towards taking care of the human being.
Okay, well put. I mean, there's so much to talk about. It's already gotten spicy already in the
Yeah, man.
beginning, but
Again,
I did.
Trinidad red pepper, you know,
They are delicious, okay?
it's
I would
gotta be
expect
on every
nothing.
meal. I love this stuff.
I do want to talk about your career, right? You had an incredible career with highs and lows. You played for several MLS clubs, USL clubs. You are just a tried and true workhorse, a warrior, a Soca warrior, if I may say. But let's talk about how you got to the United States from Trinidad, and obviously I'm assuming you got a scholarship to play
Yeah.
at UConn. But you know, how was that process for you and getting scouted and getting that opportunity? What did it mean to you when you got that opportunity to go play there?
Well, going to UConn was actually a meditation and a real dream of mine, like in my heart that I wanted. And I was That was after the under 17 World Cup. I realized how difficult it would be to go from playing at youth level to becoming a pro from Trinidad and Tobago. And my parents also wanted me to get educated. And I realized, you know, from watching all the international football, that there would be the cold breath coming out of the players' mouths. So I understood that the climate that I was in was warm, but the climate that I needed to be in and get accustomed to would have to be cold. So UConn was my target, and I held it in my heart, and I prayed about it. And one day, Paul McDonough, the guy that built Orlando City and Atlanta United and built Inter Miami, came to Trinidad, and he came to get a striker, and I was a center back, but you know, I was blessed enough to be playing how I normally played, really hard on that day. And yeah, they wanted me, and I was blessed to live one of my dreams, to be able to go to UConn. And while I went there, you know, the opportunity came to go in the fall, but it made sense for me to go in the spring. So I had a whole 6 months to prepare for the season. And I was, as a freshman, I was a captain, and I was a captain throughout my 4 years. I could have graduated in 3 years because I never went home, really. I stayed and I studied and I trained in all the winter and summer. And I was an All-American for my 3 years. And I was a freshman All-American. Human Trophy. I was a Human Trophy candidate, and Lowe's Senior Award candidate also. So
the resume is strong.
I know, bro. That's a lot. Let's of go. Awards.
Yeah, man.
I once ate a really big burger and they put my photo on the wall. So like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, so, to some degree,
parallels. Hey, you know,
relative,
if you train hard enough, you know, you could succeed. You know?
Yeah, it's a push, man. It's a push. The main thing for me was to open doors for other people, you know, like the other people did before me. And I graduated in resource economics and geography. So I want to push, you know, all the kids out there that don't see a way, right? I want to push them to understand that nothing is not unattainable, you know?
Yeah.
Do you get a chance to sort of, being in the position that you are now, working with Academy kids, for those of us who only get to see Trinidad and Tobago in these matches against the U.S. men's national team or other CONCACAF matches, where do you think the skill level is? Because we see some great players like Kevin Molino and some other folks that are in the USL. What is the skill level of the kids that are at the level you were at when you took part in the Youth World Cup? What is that skill level, and where do you think they would fit in the U.S. Sort of system?
Well, we reaching a stage in Trinidad and Tobago where there are club teams, but there is not enough. Well, for example, the U.S., a lot of the play in the U.S., a lot of the structure in the U.S. is structured football, right? In the Caribbean and in impoverished places, it's unstructured football where kids will be playing in small-sided on the grass, barefoot. You know, they'll be using a bottle as a football, you know, a bottle with some water. Might roll up a piece of foil and roll it until you have a ball. You know, those kind of things to start with. But there comes a point where structured football needs to take place. And that requires guidance. That requires support, money, and somebody with foresight. That could build that demographic, which is the most important demographic that needs to be built, is the youth. Because all of us were youths. No one was born a footballer. No one is born a professional. You know, you have to take care of the youths first. So in terms of our level in Trinidad and Tobago, in terms of raw talent and skill, we have a lot, man. We have a lot. And it's very sad to see the gap. You know, it's very sad to see the gap, the current gap, and the future gap. If Trinidad and Tobago, if we don't make a move on our youths and start developing them now, the future gap is going to be massive. Because the stuff that we're doing, the stuff that the U.S. is doing right now in the professional academies, I mean, I look at my resume. I just named my college resume to you. We haven't even spoken about my professional international resume. And I am literally pouring into these kids.
Yeah. Wow. There's a lot of work to be done. I mean, you're seeing even, you know, 3-4 years ago to be saying with the U.S., like seeing Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Chris Richards.
Yeah. Wild. You know, Ryan, all these, Ryan Reynolds.
Gio Reyna, seeing all these names at young ages, like that the U.S. is clearly making that attempt to not have that gap from like 16 to 20 years old where that's where, you know, we separate from the rest of the world. The other CONCACAF countries have to work on the same thing, and they're in a kind of worse position to try to catch up.
Maybe there's a way to expand the market that Miami is allowed to pull kids from, you know, the market to Trinidad and Tobago. You know what I mean? Maybe there's like a couple of flights.
Well, you know, that's a hard bargain to drive, because Inter Miami prides itself, although on being an international brand, Inter Miami prides itself on developing the South Floridian demographic.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so you have to live here. You have to be, you know, going to school here. You know, we want to develop the people here. You know what I mean?
And there's a lot. South Florida is known for great athletes all over the world. In fact, you're getting a chance now to work with the youth. And I feel like you have like a really good sort of demeanor for that, because you are very positive, but also like where you came from and how hard you had to work to get to where you're going. Why don't you talk a little bit about the sort of, for us, for American soccer fans, we start to get a little worried. We're like, yo, is there enough? Like, can we build the players? Like, can we get multiple Gio Reynas, multiple Christian Pulisics? What are you seeing on the ground there? What are these kids like? Are they good? Should Christian and I maybe, you know, find a way to get into third-party ownership? You know what I mean?
Agency, is there
money to be made? What are you seeing with the skill level of the youth down in South Florida?
I mean, South Florida has always been known for having a rich, you know, crop of players, always. You know, because they could play football all year round. So when it's winter and kids can't go outside and they do the touches in the living room, in Florida, you're outside playing, you could still train, you could, you know. So if you think about it in terms of the amount of practice hours that a South Floridian will have as compared to somebody probably in the Northeast, you know, is more hours. So it makes sense for South Florida to have, you know, a deeper talent pool. But one of the issues that we have is that there's also American football and there's also all these other sports. So
I don't want to be David Beckham. I want to be Odell Beckham. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So there's a competition for the athletes, but also there's a mentality that we have to work on down here. So, you know, being in this environment and seeing the level of players is very, very encouraging for me. Very encouraging, because I could tune it back to my experience, right? The strongest program, one of the strongest programs that I was a part of was the Under 17 World Cup program. And they prepared us for 3 years. Right. And it started for me around age 13, 14. Right. So being in the academy and seeing these kids develop and connecting with the same mentality that they would have in terms of wanting to be a pro and competing and knowing that, you know, not all of us would be pros. You know what I mean? But we have to give all, and we have to give our energy and be optimists. And all these tactical information that we're teaching them, and we're bending them, and we're putting them under pressure, and is very exciting for me, right? Because I have a direct influence in the evolution of football, you know, directly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to see these kids in 5 years, you know, in 6 years. And we already signed like 3 guys from the academy. You know what I mean? And to see them, to see their progress from a year ago, and also, you know, literally seeing these kids grow, yo, Yeah. You get a break for a month and you come back and they're talking like grown men, like, what's up, coach?
Yo, what is his beard about? Yeah. What happened?
I believe right? You're my student's older brother and you need to leave here. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, what's your coaching style? Obviously, you were a gritty, hardworking center back. Is it, you know, you're not, there's a difference between like if a striker, a former striker was a coach and a center back, because the center backs are like, you need to stop doing them kippy uppies and learn how to win a 50-50.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe hit the
little,
gym.
Little elbow in the air. Ref doesn't see it. We just keep moving. You got to win the ball.
We're going to get everybody a water bottle that's in the shape of a weight. So even when you're drinking, you lift the weight.
Okay, no days off, okay?
Well, let me show you all something here about football. You know, I was gritty and you know, so hard-nosed because in my position, I had to. But my key and strongest element was my brain and my ability to communicate and organize, because most of the issues that would happen in the defense would be taken care of before it happened, when I was playing. You know, I was a very good organizer and communicator. But when issues did arise, you know, I would exact my force and be able to clean it up and stuff like that.
Yeah. Who was the, I don't know who, there's a Serie A player, legendary center back, that said, if I have to make a tackle, that means I've made a mistake, like earlier. I don't know who said that, but it always stuck with
good
me.
Defender, like, good defenders rarely make tackles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So right. with that being said, I was always like, for example, when I played in San Antonio, we won the NASL championship down there. My teammates had the audacity to race me, right? Because they didn't understand how fast I was, because I never really.
Because you didn't have to show it. Yeah, that's what I say. I just don't have the speed.
Don't race
but I say,
me,
I don't have
you
to
know
show
you're gonna
it
lose.
Either. Yeah, right. I get to use my car, right?
Anyway, our producer just told me it was Paolo Maldini that said that. Okay,
yes.
We are here with Inter Miami Academy coach Julius James, and I want to talk about your MLS career a little bit. Obviously, you were drafted by Toronto FC, and you played DC United, Columbus Crew, a couple of MLS clubs, Houston as well. But I want to talk about your first goal, because I was reading that you scored on your MLS debut against the LA Galaxy. Was David Beckham on the field? Was he playing? I don't think he was.
No, because right. he had just come into the league, and he also wouldn't play on turf.
That's right.
Oh, on turf. Okay, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's right.
Now
the European player, exception, right? Thierry Henry also didn't want to.
Yeah.
But you have an interesting career. Obviously, you played at Columbus and DC United. You dealt with injuries and things like that. And I know you also had like a very serious injury, serious leg injury later on in your career. But what was your experience like throughout the league? I mean, you playing for a couple different teams. I'm sure there were like highs where you were really excited and you were maybe happy about your standing and place, but and there were situations where I'm sure you were like, does this coach even like me? Things like that.
Yeah.
But how would you encapsulate like and say how do you feel about your MLS career?
You know, I sometimes look back and I feel a little disappointed sometimes, but that is when I'm not looking at the bigger picture, right? My dream was to play in the EPL and to play in Europe. And, you know, when I got the opportunity, the agent that I signed with didn't keep his promise, didn't stick to the plan, right? The plan was to, I actually had a contract to play in Europe, and he advised me to stay in the MLS. And when the opportunity came to leave, he didn't stick to his side of the bargain. So Fast forward to all of that, and now I'm coaching at Inter Miami, and I'm a U.S. citizen, and my two sons are U.S. citizens, and you know I thank God for that. You know I think that even though I stayed in the MLS and stayed playing in the United States, that the bigger picture and the opportunity to provide more for my family and for generations to come came through staying in the US, because becoming a citizen in Europe, so far away from my family would have also been difficult. So, You know, they say, tell God your plans and you'll make him laugh, right?
Yeah.
my plans was not exactly God's plans, but I would say from playing in the MLS, I gained a lot of experience, right? We played against many international teams, you know, that will come over in the international breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only downside to things that I wouldn't really say I appreciated was the trades, being traded and not being actually part of it, and having to move yourself and your family within a few days to go compete on another team in a completely different state, you know. That, I'm not sure the mental pressure and strain is calculated in some of these moves, right, with players, and concerning their lives and their relationship and their children and all that stuff.
We've had situations where we've even talked about like players getting traded, like on their wedding day, they find out and stuff like that. Just a sudden shock of being traded. And this is something that, you know, European footballers don't really have to deal with, right? Because their trades really are just transfers, and that kind of involves like long negotiations. But when you play for a team in MLS, you know, you must not even want to pick up the phone when your coach calls or the owner. You're like, hell no. You know, I like my apartment. I'm not trying to move.
It's so weird, and thanks for saying that, because that helped, that connected me to something, you know. Till this day, where if my director calls me, I get nervous as a coach, because that was the life that you lived for the last X amount of years playing, you know, in the MLS, and sometimes in some of the other North American leagues. You know, is
what the pressure is, it like, because I feel that when my wife calls, I'm like, oh God, what did I not do? You know, or what did I say on the
text
internet?
What is this about? You know,
call is like another level. A text, a DM.
I think it might be a divorce. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's FaceTime, I'm picking it up with my lawyer in the shop first, just in case.
Yeah,
and then I'll turn the camera to me. But is it the same? Is it like you still feel that sort of PTSD, if you will?
It's immense, man. It's immense. You know, we could laugh about it now, but to have players that's still going through it. I mean, some players you would find out that they got traded from the draft.
Yeah.
From watching the draft.
Yeah.
But you know, for me, I see progress going on in the MLS, and I see, you know, more collective bargaining agreements coming forward, and the players' union being more aggressive towards protecting the players and making sure they are good. I also see the MLS having, you know, more outreach programs and continuing to try to help the players with after retirement programs. You know, I think what was the name of the one that y'all I saw y'all in?
ICC Futures.
ICC Futures.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. The ICC Futures was a tournament, but the MLS has something called MLS Greats.
Oh, okay.
And what they do is they help. I'm not sure if the program is still running, but you know, there's more things to look forward to than was in the past. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to seeing the future, man, and seeing how great we could make football and evolve it going forward.
All right, yeah, you're doing it. I mean, you're laying the foundation, dude. It's incredible. I had a question. We usually something a little bit more, softball question. Obviously, a veteran center back in American soccer. Who do you hate facing? What forwards did you really feel like, oh man, this dude got my number, or I had to work? You had to work a little bit harder.
In MLS or
in MLS, NASL,
it doesn't matter.
Anywhere.
Thierry Henry was difficult to deal with. Was a handful because, you know, he would play inside and outside, and his ability to pick the pass and dribble and shoot was you always had to be on your P's and Q's, you know, because you could get beat on any front.
Okay.
He was difficult to deal with. We played an international game against AC Milan, and I played against Ronaldinho.
Oh man.
Yeah, that must have been fun.
That guy was on a different level, you know. He would, at points in time, he would kind of walk around the field. And when I kind of meditated it more, it would be to lose his mark.
So he looked like he wasn't doing anything.
But he's losing his mark because the ball is moving, and obviously you're shifting with the ball.
And yeah, he's just taking a stroll.
If he strolls, the mark is gone because you have to shift with the ball, right? So
he's playing false nine, false 10, false seven, dude, you know? Yeah.
And then he pops up in the right time and boom, you know, something.
I just saw you getting French fries. How are you here?
All right. Thank you again to Julius James for joining us today.
Incredible.
We seriously appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. You are like a historian of this game, man. You have so many experiences. We have to get you back on the show because I know you have wealth of stories and things to discuss. Julius, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Y'all could follow me at Mr. Julius James on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also on Facebook, but I can't add any more people, so I have an athletes page.
You're too popular, right? Bro.
Too big.
Y'all could also tune in to some of the work that I'm doing with my foundation that I founded with a couple other international footballers, Trinidadian international footballers in Trinidad and Tobago. I'm the senior social development officer down there. And we do a lot of work in the community where we mentor the disenfranchised, we mentor the at-risk, we mentor the differently able, and we teach them women's rights, we teach them discipline, we teach them, we're trying to go into finance, and we have some after-school programs that we're just trying to help in the communities in Trinidad and Tobago.
That's so wonderful.
Y'all could follow us at CanbuPlay, CanbuPlay. The Kanbupe Foundation. We are on social media also, all the platforms. And, you know, continue to support me in my endeavors to push positive vibes out there and to evolve football as much as we could in a positive direction.
Great. Okay. Yes, everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans, at Fubo Sports, and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episode of the program. We're doing something new today. We want to get a goal celebration GIF from Julius James. So, Julius, you have some time to think about it. What is your goal celebration GIF?
Tell me when I'm ready. Tell me when you're ready.
Go. Whenever you're ready, go for it.
Just go.
Just go.
Yeah, let's go.
I'll take it.
Wonderful. All
right. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Julius James, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yes.